pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four!
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, welcome back to the Pistol Cast. We have a special guest filling in for Q tonight. We have... His pen name on the blog is Freemason10, but Mattamillion is joining us tonight to talk a little bit, OSU golf, OSU baseball, some NFL draft, and a little bit of the Thunder. Thanks for coming on, Matt.
Yeah, man, good to be here. Got some big shoes to fill in Q.
Yeah, you know, he really carries us. He really does. And
yeah, it's nothing against you. I think he carries the Pistol Cast sometimes.
No, he does, and I'll admit that. He's got... he's got a face for radio, but he's also got a voice for radio too. And I think, I do my best, but I can't bring what he's bringing. So big props to him.
An idea for a future guest would be Sister Q or whatever she goes by.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to have Sister Pistols, whatever her, if that's what she goes by.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
And Sister Q and have just like throw... just random topics out and have them just kind of go at it like...
Oh, you wouldn't have a moment of silence, man. That'd be awesome.
No, it'd really be like kind of the intelligent version of Todd McShay and Mel Kiper going at each other.
I was just ragging on that duo earlier with my roommate. Good gosh.
Well, okay, while we're here, the draft so far, we've got three quarterbacks in the top 10. Do you feel like... you look at these guys, and they didn't necessarily play on successful college teams. I mean, Cam Newton did, but, you know, Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert. Do we look at these guys as being franchise quarterbacks? I mean, I guess my question is, why do NFL teams pick guys who didn't necessarily win games in college?
Well, first of all, I'm following the draft. It's actually been on in the other room all night, but I can't get into it that much because it's just with the whole lockout and everything going on, which I guess was lifted today, but still, it kind of takes all the luster out of the draft. I think Cam Newton is Cam Newton. I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, no question, the guy is ridiculously talented. And then Locker was just unanimous number one pick last year, and all of a sudden he gives it one more year, and I mean, nobody's giving him a shot except Tennessee Titans, and I mean, the number 8 pick, I don't know, but if they want a quarterback, I don't know who they're going to take ahead of them.
Yeah. Blaine Gabbert.
Is he the answer to Jacksonville's problems? I don't think the Gabbert true duo is going to be winning a... it's not even going to get him to the playoffs. I don't know.
Well, yeah, don't they still have David Garrard, though? I mean, what...
Yeah, no, he wasn't doing terrible. I'm not going to say I followed Jacksonville, but I would imagine that they had bigger needs than a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. And we're not here to talk about the NFL, obviously, but I guess I just don't understand I don't understand what Gabbert did in college to make people say, oh, you know, he's the answer to some NFL team's question. I don't even know what the question is really, but.
No. And how well did he play when he came to Stillwater last year? I mean, he didn't destroy us from what I remember. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure we can look back on that and it would have left a mark, but.
No, I mean, I believe that was homecoming last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I, as always, I predicted we were going to lose and we didn't as always. And
yeah. Yeah. You've been negative, man. It doesn't bother me when you pick against us. And one thing, I don't know if I'm holding this against Blaine Gabbert. I can't stand, and I don't know where he is now. I just loathe Chase Daniel.
And really?
So the guy following him, you think I'd have to like him more, and I do. But I still, when I think Blaine Gabbert, I still think Chase Daniel, so it just makes me pissed off at Blaine Gabbert. And that's
what's your deal with Chase Daniel?
Just arrogant. What was some of this? I don't remember. What are some of the stuff that he would say? just a cocky guy. I don't know. Didn't like him. I didn't think he was that good. I thought he was just so overrated, too. I mean, I'm not going to say he was terrible, but I don't think he was what everybody was hyping him up to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He did win a Super Bowl ring, didn't he, though, with the Saints?
What did he do to earn the Super Bowl?
Well, I think he caught Super Bowl ring. I think he caught passes on the sideline for Breeze. So
yeah,
he
probably. He probably got Drew's arm loose. probably more than Christian Ponder or Blaine Gabbert could have done. So I don't know why they're getting drafted so high tonight. Christian Ponder was the other one that I looked at, and I was just looking at his name, and I'm at number 12. I'm like, is he any better than Tarvaris Jackson?
He got drafted at 12.
Yeah.
What in the
world? Vikings took him at 12.
Okay, here's my question. Okay, so you've got Cam Newton, you've got Jake Locker, Gabbert, and then Ponder. And what about, where's Mallett at? I feel like he's a better talent than all those guys, no?
You would think he has more tools. I don't know. I want to say I know a lot about these quarterbacks, but in reality, I watched maybe a couple games or some highlight reels, but Mallett's name was way up there above. Ponder, I would have never guessed would have been a number 12 pick.
Yeah. It's just, it's weird. It's bizarre. But, anyway, let's make the smooth transition from Florida State football to, Oklahoma State golf. And I want to talk a little bit about, about the Big 12 championship. You followed it, I'm sure as I did, kind of via Twitter and read some stuff online. Oklahoma State finished with, they beat A&M by, I believe it's 13 strokes, finished with the number one guy, the number two guy, and the number four guy. They kind of have to be the favorite heading into the NCAAs here in, I guess they've got the regional first, but presuming they get past that into the NCAAs here in about a month, don't they?
Yeah, and I'm actually excited because I think I'm going to try to go to the last day. Assuming that we make it to the last day, that Sunday. I compare it to wrestling. Like, after we won those four championships in a row, I think we got third in the national championships the next year. And it was a down year. We're not satisfied with third in wrestling. And just like the Big 12 tournament in golf this year, we weren't satisfied, thrilled about winning it. It was more of, oh, man, can we get the top three, top four golfers?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it got me thinking, I'll ask you, would you trade the success we've had in the smaller sports, golf and wrestling, for maybe a couple future football championships?
Okay, well, first of all, hold on. This is a great question. I love this question. First of all, tell me how many football championships we're talking here.
Just say, I don't know, two in the next 20 years. But at the same token, by saying that we're going to, still be as good as we are in golf and wrestling, that doesn't mean we won't win any football championships. I'm just saying, would you give up those success to be guaranteed to in football?
I think I would. Just because.
Really?
Just because of how much. I don't even know if this is a correct sentence, but how much more heavily covered football is. It's like you could win. We could literally win 20 golf championships in a row, and we might get like one of those faces in the crowd in Sports Illustrated. It'd have all five faces of the golfers that competed for OSU and the NCAAs. We wouldn't even get like a story in the NCAAs. We just get like one of the faces in the crowd things. But obviously if we won football, we'd have, Adam Schefter would be falling all over himself, and we'd have, all these guys from the mothership, Kirk Herbstreit would be, just be going crazy. And it's just such a bigger deal in the college sports landscape nowadays than any of them, and really any other sport, I think.
Yeah, and I was trying to answer that myself. I was thinking I could go both ways and be happy with my decision. I actually said no, I wouldn't. I think it would be different if we just went 3-9 last year, 4-8. But given where we are, I still feel like we'd have a chance to get that even if we weren't guaranteed. And I'm proud, like, and I'm legitimately proud of having 50 national championships.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 in golf, what, 34, 35 in wrestling?
Well, I think it's nine. I think it goes 9 in golf, 34 in wrestling, so that's 43. 2 in basketball is 45. 1 in baseball is 46.
Couple in cross country that we just recently got.
Yeah, cross country's 48.
But either way, I mean, yeah. I'm proud of that. And I know that it's not, and it doesn't bother me. You talk to an OU fan all day and they'll just tell you those sports don't matter. Well, I'm proud that we have teams that compete nationally every year. And whether, you know, it's nice to be talked about on College Game Day. We still get that a little bit now, but you're right. We would get a lot more exposure. We could finally just, you know, get that monkey off our back that we keep hearing how many national championships we have. But we'd probably still hear that because we don't have, it's going to take a while to get as many as they have in Norman. But I wouldn't give it up. I really wouldn't.
Well, you know, a lot of people have been talking recently about kind of, I mean, I think OSU is kind of a sexy dark horse pick going into the 2011 football season. Is that, do you see that as a good thing or kind of a negative thing? Is in it's like 2009 all over again where we're, you know, everybody's picking us and we're, you know, Big 12 championships, could play for the national title, you know, and then we fall on our face. Like, do you see that as a good or bad thing with this team?
It's a good thing with this team. They're mature enough. I mean, they've been there. They won 10 games last year, the most, you know, in school history in the regular season. You know, it's expected. They know how to handle it. I mean, you got Whedon at quarterback who, I mean, I don't think you can face that guy mentally. I mean, and you could give him all the preseason hype. I think his head is different than Zach's head. We're not going to relive 2009. I mean, a lot of that stuff you can't control.
Yeah, obviously.
So... Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. I think the exposure helps us from a recruiting standpoint and just program exposure, man.
Well, okay, you're talking about exposure here, and we've...
Where you're going with this.
Well, we blew past the golf talk, so we're on to football now, but...
Yeah, it's fine.
Friday night game, well, we moved our Friday night game, or we moved the game with Iowa State to a Friday night on ESPN2, is that something that, are you on board with that?
No. I'm not as upset about it because it's an away game. If it would have been a home game, I would have been furious. I hate giving up home Saturday games. I mean, last year, Thursday, it broke my heart because we didn't get the tailgate. I mean, I just so upset. It was cool because it was Thursday night, great game. But, I mean, Saturday football is, I mean, in the fall, that's college football's day. And Friday night's even worse, but it's away, so it doesn't bother me as much. I did some looking into it last year. You know, there were 7 teams last year that played 2 Friday night games, and that does not include Thanksgiving weekend. That's kind of an exception.
Do you remember who those teams were?
Yeah, West Virginia, which that one shocked me because they don't need to do that. Why?
No,
I mean,
no.
Houston.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I mean, I can probably guess them. I'll go.
Okay, go ahead.
Boise, definitely.
Got it.
I'll say Cincinnati.
Nice.
Was that one of them?
Yeah.
Nevada.
No, but they did play Cal on a Friday night game. So that was kind of an interesting matchup of a decent. I mean, Cal's not bad.
Yeah, that really is. BYU, maybe?
Nope.
Man, I can't believe I got since South Florida.
No, think BCS bowl game.
UConn.
Yes, UConn.
Yeah. See, I'm not trying. That's my thing, and you can give me the rest of that list in a second. But I don't want to be. I feel like the trajectory of who Oklahoma State is trying to be is not. It's not UConn. It's not Cincinnati. It's not West Virginia. And you look at you get the casual fan who looks at, okay, the weekend schedule for college football games. Okay, we got our Thursday night. Thursday night's kind of this prime time. It's become this sort of like, you know, this everybody's fired up about the Thursday night game. It's kind of cool now. Like it's kind of hip to play on Thursday night. The Friday game is like a sideshow. It's like, oh, well, you know, Boise and San Jose State are playing on a Friday night. That's cute. If I'm, you know, I'll check the highlights out. It really is a sideshow. And I don't understand why we want to and or need to do that.
We don't need to. And, well, maybe we do. I don't know what the money says. It's all money, is it not? I mean, just knowing how Holder operates, if he can make some extra money, why would he not do it?
Yeah, but I really actually don't have any idea what the payout is.
I have no clue.
I mean, you can't think that it's that much for a road game against Iowa State, is it?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know.
I'm going to give you the rest of the list. Well, the whole list was West Virginia, Houston, UConn, Cincinnati. It might just be six. Sorry about that. Boise State and Fresno State.
Fresno, yeah. They probably didn't play any Saturday games. They probably played all Thursday and Friday games.
You know what the most memorable Friday night game was for me last year?
The Boise-Idaho game?
Yes, and that was funny because that really was most memorable. And I was like, oh, yeah, we played. But, no, I thought of sitting in our hotel in Austin watching that game in the Kibbe Dome, 7,000 people. And what was so entertaining about that game? Was it just how bad they were?
Well, I was like, whenever we turned it on, I was like, I literally thought they were playing in a gym. Because
are they serious?
It looks like the homeless man's version of where the Diamondbacks play. It looks like an airport hangar, but for like miniature airplanes.
Oh, if you look at the outside, it looks like the old Colvin. It's so bad, and it's like, and for a second, I almost thought they might have a couple athletes on their team, but that game, Oh, that was unreal.
No, it wasn't good. We need to put a picture of their stadium up on the site for people who haven't seen it. It's not good.
Oh yeah, post that. And here's the point. That game was memorable as a Friday night game, because it was a joke. Like,
yeah.
We're making fun of it right here, and not that that's going to be us, but I mean, we don't need to be playing Iowa State on a Friday.
No,
I am with you on that. Thursday is. It has become acceptable. I don't want it for home games because I just don't like giving up game day experiences in Stillwater.
Yeah.
I'm kind of overlooking it, I guess, because it's on the road.
No, I'm with you on the Thursday thing. I think that especially in a place like Stillwater where it's important for the town, really, to have those Saturday games. You don't want to, maybe once every, you know, two or three years have a Thursday night game, but you don't really want to get into the, I don't know. I don't think you want to get into the habit of really doing that.
No, but I feel like we are getting into a habit.
Yeah.
I don't think we need it for the exposure. I don't think we need that right now. I think our team's good enough and their schedule is, it's going to be tough enough where we're going to get that attention. If we win the games, you know, we win 10 games this year, we will... people will know who we are. Like, they'll know about our program.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm so excited about football. I can't wait till we'll do a huge, like, 3 or 4 part podcast in August or September. Well, I guess we'll do it in August with you and Q, and we'll get everybody involved and just do a big football preview. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to get our predictions where Q predicts us go 13-0, win the national championship.
Yeah, just like for the people who don't know Q, and probably everybody listening to this does, because I think like 13 people listen to it. He's the most irrational sports fan that I know,
and it's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious. I mean, it is awesome. I mean, is he the most irrational sports fan you know?
My dad's out there, man. No, Q's got him. Q's got him beat overall. Because my dad's OSU, and then he goes very far. I mean, that's his bubble. Q, man, we could probably be talking about Butler, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, but he knows so much, and like what he knows stuff about, I'm just like, dang, What is it? He's like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, and
stuff that we don't know. It's awesome.
Like, if you were to hire someone to like be a fan of your team for a day, you'd want to hire Q, because he would be insane, and he would like memorize your entire school's history and probably be able to, you know, recite it by halftime of the game. And I mean, he's insane.
I think Q and I should take over for Brian Davis and Grant Long. Those guys kill me. I'm sorry. Matt Pinto on the radio he's legit. Love that. I need to be one of those guys that turns on the radio and watches a Thunder game on TV, but sorry. That's a tangent.
Okay. Well, while we're here, Thunder up. Closed out they didn't close out the Spurs. They closed out the Nuggets last night.
Mm-hmm.
KD out of his mind in the fourth quarter. It would obviously be unspoken. Is there kind of an unwritten kind of rift between him and Westbrook, just in contrasting Westbrook's horrible Game 4 and KD's unbelievable Game 5? Is there, like, do you see the potential for that to come between them moving forward?
I started to worry about that even just last night, but I think it's too early to tell. I think just this week off or so that they're going to have between the next series is going to give them some time, Russell some time to, you know, clear his head. I don't know if it's that he tries too hard or he feels like he needs to take control, or if he just wants to be the superstar. You know, I mean, it's tough to tell what's going through his head, but it's got to worry you a little bit. I mean, I'm not one of those that's like hammering Westbrook. It actually, people got on my nerves by how, you know, how bad they were talking about him after that game. But I mean, just look at that game, and he was 0-for from 3, and he was taking those shots at the end. And I don't mind him taking the shots, but when you're not shooting well at all in the game, and Durant is 4-for 5, 3-for 4, whatever he was, I mean, he's got to have the ball, right? And he proved it.
Yeah, I think I read two really good columns or articles or whatever, blog posts, whatever they are. One by Royce at Daily Thunder, and I can't remember the guy's name who runs Ball Don't Lie, which is the Yahoo NBA blog. Both.
I don't think I read that one.
They're both very much, you know, this is who Russell Westbrook is, and you're not going to change him. You might be able to harness a little bit of that in the fourth quarter and filter it over to KD, but I mean, this is who he is, and you know what you're signing up for going in. And
right.
I mean, it's very much a love-hate relationship, and most of it is good, and it, you know, you're going to be happy with the results, but there are times when you're just going to have to live with, you know, him being a little bit out of control, I think.
No, and exactly right. And it's like you have to remember the great plays and games that he has whenever he has a game like he did in Game 4. I mean, he still made some bad decisions last night, but I mean, why are you criticizing our all-star point guard when we're up 3-1 on the Nuggets in the first round of playoffs? One bad game is all it took. I mean, people just forget, you know, they want to look so bad and all the bad stuff. Sports Animal actually, I think it was Traber, threw this comparison. And I won't quote him too much and give him props, but he said Thunder fans are starting to become a lot like OU football fans. And I was like, wow, I didn't even expect him to say that, because he keeps a pretty he doesn't hold a bias by any means, but he's right. Not all OU football fans and not all Thunder fans, but people are flipping out, and a lot of that had to do with the refs. But just, you know, OU loses a game, they think they have to fire every coach they have, and it's like we lose one game in the playoffs and we think that our point guard sucks because he had a bad game.
I want to read you two stat lines from the 2010-2011 NBA season. I'm not going to tell you the names. I'm just going to read you two stat lines, and I'm going to have you tell me the names whenever we're done.
All right.
Okay, the first one is average 22 points a game, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. Okay?
Okay. How many turnovers? You got that one?
4. The second one is 25 point average, 25 points a game, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, with 3.5 turnovers a game.
Wow, that's actually really tough. Okay, go over the, sorry, repeat the first one more time.
Okay, first one, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 4 turnovers. Second one, 25, 4, 8, 1, and 3.5 turnovers.
25, 4. First one, I'll go Darren Williams?
No, it's actually Westbrook.
Oh, wow.
And the second one is Derrick Rose.
Oh, okay.
And so my point is that, you know,
wasn't a whole lot of difference in there. I mean,
no. I mean, Rose averaged more points, fewer assists, fewer steals, and fewer rebounds. So it's like, you know, Derrick Rose he's going to be the MVP. Everybody's in love with Derrick Rose. And I love Derrick Rose. I think he's phenomenal. But people freak out about Westbrook, even though they're basically the same player.
Yeah. And he just made some bad decisions. He's gonna learn. Yeah, people forget. Like, this is a young team. I mean, what? He's 22. Is that right?
Yeah, he's come on. He's turning. Yeah, he'll turn 23 in November.
Can we get like Steve Nash on a pistol cast and ask him what went through his head when he was 22? I'm pretty sure he wasn't all there either. I mean, I love that Westbrook's a competitor and. It didn't cost us. It cost us one game. We moved on. I mean, I'll take that.
Okay, so Grizzlies Spurs game 6 tomorrow night. We got Tony Allen rocking the grizzly bear in the back of. Well, I guess he shaved it, but he was rocking the grizzly bear.
I love that, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it was so awesome.
Show that to my family last night, and they're kind of like, and Lindsay too, and like, I don't know, and I was like. That's awesome, but I was also the only one in the room that thought Chris Anderson's tattoos were tight. Maybe I'm just weird. I don't know.
Okay, so who are we rooting for? Are we rooting for our OSU boy, or are we rooting for Timmy D and Manu and the Spurs?
I think we got to be rooting for the Grizzlies. And for this reason alone is that we get home court advantage. I mean, everybody can say, yeah, but the Spurs are old. Yeah, but if it's not going to affect them against the Grizzlies, I mean, who's this? Do we know if the next week, like, their age is going to kick in and they're just going to, and we're just going to run through them? I mean, the Grizzlies scare me. Don't get me wrong. Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, I feel like any time that we play them, they're just going to go off. There's nothing we can do about it. I think they're solid and, I just would rather play them than the Spurs because, you know, you get the first two at home, kind of gain that momentum moving forward into the series. And I think if you can get up on the Grizzlies, you can put them away easier than if you got behind on the Spurs or even if you got ahead on the Spurs. Getting back and putting them away would be a lot tougher.
I'm a little worried about the Grizzlies in that I feel like, I mean, they've got one of the, like, three people in the world that can – they can check Durant. They can kind of, you know, guard him to an extent in Tony Allen.
Yeah. He smothers him, and he does a really good job of it.
Yeah, he does. And I'm torn as an OSU and Thunder fan. I don't know how to feel about that. But
Thunder first. Well, I
agree. It's just, you know, I love Tony Allen. But and then we got Randolph, who's basically, I mean, to me, he's like the multimillionaire's Perkins, or Perkins is the homeless man's Randolph, you know, however you want to look at it. And
I don't even know if you can put them in the same comparison because just of their shot alone, Randolph's got a little bit of range.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's basically Perkins, but like with a phenomenal offensive game. And
right.
That's not a good matchup for the Thunder, I don't feel like.
Well, I mean, look back to when Rudy Gay and who else were they? OJ. They were both out. And we lost at home. I mean, it's different in the playoffs. I don't know how much you factor in home court advantage in the NBA, but I mean, I heard some people saying that last night was just insane. I heard KD's first comment in his press conference was, the crowd won this one for us. Well, that's typical because he won that game for us, and
yeah,
everybody.
It was unreal. You know, you're probably on Twitter. I was on Twitter, and you get all these people who are just like. I mean, at some point, I think I tweeted, like, I don't have any adjectives left to describe what he's doing because it was...
Yeah, I saw that.
It was unbelievable. It was, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the next Jordan, the next Kobe, the next, whatever, but I feel like that was kind of his first opportunity to close, like, to truly close something, and he did. I mean, he slammed the door shut.
Oh, and, man,
It was awesome to watch.
Just like a zone. I mean, I think I've seen maybe Kobe get in those zones where he just – it's his game. Like, it's in his hands. And he just – he wasn't going to lose. Was not going to lose.
Yeah.
He couldn't – I don't think he could have missed any shot he put up.
Well, after
– one that I don't even know what you call it. Like, in the lane, fading away with, like, one-handed shot. I don't know what that was, but it was – it was a very few guys can do it.
Yeah. And I mean, after he even said after he hit the kind of the off balance three to get him going in the fourth, he was like, I just didn't want to go back to Denver and they're not. And it was awesome. I mean, it was truly a kind of, it was just a remarkable performance to watch.
It was KD's version to Kiesler or whatever as a Holgerson's flea flicker against Baylor. Same middle finger right there to you. That was the best text I've ever received in my life.
That's
I showed that to people around me that I didn't even know, and they loved it.
That's
for people who don't know, last year when we were up, I don't know, like 30 on Baylor in the fourth quarter, and
yeah,
Baylor was annoying.
It was
so sick of them. Fourth and one, Holgerson calls a flea flicker in the fourth quarter. And we got a text from Pistols guy saying, I feel like Holgerson just ran to midfield and gave Art Briles a middle finger or something like that. And I was like, yeah,
he did. I mean, that's
exactly
that is
did.
Exactly what he was doing. You don't run a flea flicker on Baylor up 30 in the fourth without like having some kind of, you know, personal like something against Baylor or against somebody. I don't know what was going on, but it was awesome, and I loved it.
We have to change the topic. I'm getting like teary eyed. I miss him already. Nothing against Monken, but I mean, I already miss our conversations about what Holgerson's doing at 3 a.m. or what he's the kid he's playing against on, you know, NCAA as he's just recovered his 12th onside kick in a row. Gosh.
Okay, well, last thing I want to talk about, OSU baseball. They were streaking going into the A&M series, obviously got swept,
yeah.
Got beat by Wichita State on Tuesday, so they've dropped four in a row. They've got K-State coming in this weekend. Do you think they still have a chance at the Big 12 regular season title, or is that kind of not really in play anymore?
I honestly haven't even – I'm not sure what the standings look like. I would say – that's really tough for me to say without A&M, knowing A&M or Texas or OU's remaining schedule. I know OU and Texas are playing this weekend. I'd say no. With those three other teams, where are we right now? Are we third?
We are. I just pulled it up.
We dropped.
We are 10-9, and we are in fourth place. Which it's kind of misleading because OU's 9-7 and ahead of us, but they had a series get rained out, so there's some games that have to get made up. And then A&M's 14-4 in first, Texas is 13-5 in second.
Wait, so A&M's 14-4, we're 10-9, and you're asking me if we can catch them?
Well,
I would say no.
Well, it's not okay. It's not over.
No, you're right. I guess that's a little harsh, because we've played those three tough teams.
Right, and A&M still has to play Texas.
Have they played OU yet?
Let's see here. OU still has to play Baylor. A&M plays Texas. A&M plays... I'm not seeing it.
Okay, well, if you're going to ask me, I'm going to say no. We very, very little chance. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but... No, I don't think that we catch A&M. I'm trying to look at this and think, Texas is, I believe they're ranked above A&M in the, I don't know, the national rankings in college baseball, I feel like are kind of tough to go by because.
Well, it's like there's like nine different polls and you're like, I mean, there's not even this many polls for college football. Like, I don't understand.
No, I looked at them before, earlier today before we got on here, and I was kind of curious. I guess there's some guy on ESPN named Jeremy Mills of the Bracketology. He has us a 2 seed in Fayetteville. That's, I was like, oh, okay, where's Arkansas? Arkansas is 16th in the USA Today, and I think we're 21st.
Yeah.
Well, in Baseball America, Arkansas dropped out of the top 25 this week, and we're at 19.
Yeah, see, I don't understand that. I don't understand, and maybe it's because it is so undercovered, and so there's no real, like, consensus. It's just, you know, what games have you been watching lately, you know?
I think you have to just go by scores, wins and losses and scores of the games.
Right.
Which is, you know, I don't know how valid that is, but... I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, I think a 2 seed in Fayetteville, when I think Arkansas, I think that they're probably really talented, but maybe we've got a good shot against them. I don't know. I mean, if they seem like they're right around our level.
Yeah.
Building college baseball, how much does that really give you?
Wait, what'd you say?
Home field, like playing in Arkansas, how much of an edge does that give them over us?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're at LSU, at Alex Box, or, I mean, to your point, there are very few stadiums where it's going to make that big of a difference. I guess Alley P would have been kind of one a while back that would have, but yeah, I don't think so anymore, really.
I don't even think it's the crowd. I think the biggest thing to me is that some stadiums – probably different picking up the ball out of the pitcher's hand.
Yeah.
And I really think that to me, that seems like that would be the biggest factor. And it's, you know, I guess I say what in football, they give you 3 points for home field advantage generally.
Yeah.
I mean, in baseball, it's gotta be, I mean, half a run. I don't know. I mean, I think that we'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you went to the Bedlam series. You watched OSU and OU play. Did you go to the Tulsa or just Oklahoma City?
I just went to Game 3 in Oklahoma City.
Okay. Pitching has been good so far. You know, so much better than last year. I think we had almost a 6 ERA last year, and that's down to, I think it's a little under 3, maybe right at 3 this year.
That is why we're where we are.
Yeah. I mean, was that noticeable in the Bedlam series?
No. No, OU hit the ball really hard that day, which was weird because I expected, and I didn't get to see, I saw the very end of the Friday night game, and I didn't get to see Saturday's, but there were some runs put on the board, and we both had some good pitchers going, so I'm not really sure what that was all about, but no, I mean, when I was watching, I actually on Sunday, OU hit some balls hard that we caught, and we hit some balls hard too. I mean, it was a hitting game, which, you know, get two teams together, you usually think that good pitching would win versus good hitting. But no, man, I did not see the low ERAs show up in Bricktown.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we need to Big 12. Big 12 tournaments in Oklahoma City this year?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much going to be here every year, from what I understand. And someone told me, I asked somebody, and they said it's going to be here for at least, you know, there's no plans to move it.
Man, that would be, I need to come up for that. That's only 3 hours. It starts, let's see, May 25th. See, the problem is all the good days to go, like the 4 game days that start at 9 in the morning are Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, during the week. Well, you know they're going double elimination this year.
Yeah. Actually, Saturday is a 4 game day, too.
There you go.
Yeah, I need to come up for that. We need to make that happen. Maybe the Thunder will be in the Western Finals then. And
oh, the talent.
I don't need to change. I don't need to be saying stuff like that.
No, you don't, really. Although, watching the game last night with Lindsay, we're up 3 with 12 seconds left, and after we just saw what happened in the Spurs Grizzlies game, she goes, "It's over." And I just like glared at her, and I was like, "Don't say it's not. Don't you dare say that." She's like, "It's over. I'm calling it." And I was just, "Oh, of course we won." And she's like, "I told you, I called it." And I was like, "Oh, you have no idea what you just did."
You're like, "Yeah, you probably don't even watch college games with me anymore."
But let's say that's the case. If Thunder are in the Western Conference Finals and you come up and OSU and OU are playing the Big 12 Championship,
I'll be in Oklahoma City for that.
You're gonna experience exactly what I did. Because, you know, every Bedlam baseball game I've been to, I feel like there's some sort of trash talk in the stands with the fans. And I kind of joked about this in that post, but there was. It was almost like everybody was getting along because they'd all united because of the Thunder. And I heard the exact same thing on the Sports Animal today. Like someone was saying, I forgot who was hosting. But it's like, you know, OSU and OU fans, it's almost like nobody cares about that rivalry at all right now in any way because everybody's a Thunder fan.
Well, are you in favor of that or does that bother you?
It kind of bothers me. It bothers me when I'm at a Bedlam baseball game and it's there. It doesn't bother me when I'm at a Thunder game or even outside. Like, it doesn't. But I still want there to be some Bedlam rivalry. And that's not going away completely. But I don't know if that's why it was like that at that game.
Yeah. Well, I think to your point, it's you're in the middle of – I mean, this really is the Thunder – the Thunder own Oklahoma right now, right? So – you're trying to kind of force feed this late spring Bedlam baseball game right in the middle of the playoffs. And it's like, yeah, we care, but not really. And it's like, you know, it's just, it's tough.
No, you could definitely sense it. Well, I'm not kidding, man. When that game, it was not over after nine innings. I mean, it felt like half the crowd. I mean, I'm exaggerating right now, but everybody got up and left, and maybe some people went to the bathroom, but a lot of them didn't come back.
Yeah.
That tip-off was getting ready to start. I actually got in a little bit of trouble with Lindsay because I was supposed to meet her to watch the game, and I was like, ooh, do I watch extra innings? Do I go later? And luckily, we won in the 10th, and I was like, okay, this is going to save me a little bit of trouble. Now I'm only going to be like 10 minutes late, but... But the thing is I decided I was leaving after the 10th inning. And I was like, I can't believe I just said that. I felt like a bad OSU fan, but...
I know.
You know, I mean... Thunder playoffs.
Playoffs? Okay, Maddie. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. You did a phenomenal job filling in for Q. We'll definitely have you...
One quick question. Where do you think Kendall Hunter's going to end up?
Oh, yeah. Well, like what round or what team?
Team.
See, I don't team. I have no idea.
Where do you want him to end up?
I think it'd be pretty cool if he ended up. I'm gonna get ripped for saying this, but I kind of think it'd be cool if he ended up in St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah. You know. Okay. Here's the thing. They've got Keith Tostin. I think they still have Keith Tostin. I don't know any of their. Do what?
No, that doesn't really affect. I don't think Keith Tosin's making an impact.
No. Well, he played a little last year. I think he had a few touchdowns. They've got Billy Badgema. And as much as it just destroys me to say this, I love Bradford. I think he's easily my favorite OU player ever.
Football or any sport?
Yeah, any sport. He might be my favorite like OU student ever.
That's getting awkward on the pistol cast.
No, I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool for Kendall Hunter to go there. He'd be close to Oklahoma, play with Billy Badgema and Keith Tostin and be in the backfield with Bradford.
Okay. I can respect that. I think it's kind of cool.
Where do you want to go?
By the way, I mean, he is by the same Bradford. I felt the same way. Very few people were saying that the Rams should draft him. And I was like, if I'm the Rams, I'm drafting Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
No question. He's that legit. I mean, he came out his freshman year when we all thought OU was going to suck at quarterback in his first game against whoever threw five touchdown passes. And I was like, that sucks.
Yeah. But, well, I remember the 60-41 game in 08, 07, 09?
Yeah, the one in Stillwater.
Yeah, the one in Stillwater, whenever it was. And he made every throw. He was throwing like 30-yard outs that I was just like, that's an NFL throw. And he's a good dude. And he, I mean, yeah, that's stupid for anyone to say that the Rams shouldn't have taken him.
Nope. You think you're going to get it for saying the Rams. I'm on board with that. However, I'm probably going to get ripped because I have two teams in my head that I'd kind of like to see him go play for. One is the Packers. Ryan Grant which is weird because you wouldn't think that they have a weakness at running back after winning the Super Bowl, but I just, Ryan Grant's not doing it for me. And
You've had him on your fantasy team for like the last 3 years and
No. I didn't have him this year. No, no.
You didn't?
No. Who had him and they didn't? It was a dude who played and didn't play.
Oh, Briggs.
Yeah, I refused to draft Ryan Grant. Yeah, but he kept Ryan Grant all year long after
that's a whole other story.
But I feel like I'd get ripped for this and I don't care. Because I want to see him succeed and this team has a lot of talent and they've got a need at running back. And I wouldn't be upset if he ended up with the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree. I don't dislike the Patriots. I don't know. I mean,
I think the cutoff hoodie is legit. I'm all for Belichick. I don't care what people say. I like him.
By the way,
you're just like, well, screw all you. I'm gonna do what I want. I'm gonna put up points.
So. Did you see where Zobrist ended up tonight?
Oh, dude, what did he end up?
We'll talk about this on the podcast. Me and Maddie playing a fantasy baseball league together, and we've got some issues going on. But anyway, thanks for joining us, Maddie. We'll do it again. We'll definitely have you on before football season starts to preview the season and talk about life without Dana Holgorsen. So thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, man. Enjoyed it.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye.